Hey guys, so good to be here tonight. Thanks for having us at Vertical. Just want to say to Miles and the whole team how happy we are to be here. My name's Louie, if we haven't met before. We're all part of something called Passion, and just really thrilled to be in Waco, Texas, in McLean Stadium. Praying the Spirit of Jesus just stays in this place all the way till Saturday, and that we're preparing the way for the Cowboys coming in, running right into the wave of worship that's in here tonight. So we're believing for that. You guys had a good day? Okay, is it getting close to midterm? Tests, stress, all the joys wearing off and all the real stuff starting to sink in. How many of you wish you'd gotten started a little bit sooner? Yeah, got those textbooks sooner, looked at the syllabus a little sooner. How many of you feel like you're ahead of the curve right now? You just ready? You're ready for it all? You are tearing it up. Thank you. One person, God bless you. Have a ministry time later. She'll be praying for everyone. She's got it. We just want to take a moment, and I just want to, you know, invite you in to the craziest idea on the planet. And I feel like I have a tiny bit of equity to do that. I'm the oldest person, obviously, in the place tonight. And in another lifetime ago, like a whole nother lifetime ago, almost 40 years ago, I was right in this same spot on a Monday night. Not in this stadium, obviously. Nothing existed on the other side of the river then. There wasn't really anything cool in Waco. There wasn't even an In-N-Out anywhere in the world. But there were students gathering on a Monday to seek Jesus. And I had the privilege of being a part of that. And so I have a tiny bit of history. And I imagine some of that's the same today. I had the privilege of coming to Texas to grad school, originally in Fort Worth. And I went to take this job in Houston the first summer. And I met this girl. I was a summer college intern at this church in Houston. And we weren't supposed to, you know, like any of the girls in the college ministry because I was just, you know, already in grad school. But there was this one girl and she blew me out of the water like on day one. And by the grace of God, I was able to marry her. And she's a Baylor girl. And so I married into Baylor right away, and I married the best Baylor girl of all time, so I'm not throwing shade on any of the other people here tonight, but I got the best Baylor girl. But I do believe, guys, there are more Baylor girls. I was here for about a decade doing campus ministry, and I would be having, you know, a coffee or something with a guy. He's like, I don't know, I just can't find anybody, and I'm praying for the right person. I'm like, man, if you can't find her at Baylor, bro, you're not going to find her, so you just might as well just, you know, close it down. But I got the best Baylor girl. And for 2 years, we dated, me in Fort Worth, her here. So every weekend that I wasn't speaking at some youth event somewhere, because I was kind of an up-and-coming speaker, and I would go speak anywhere to anybody, anytime. And if I didn't have somewhere to speak, I would be here sleeping on my friend John Morris's couch. John Morris is the voice of the Baylor Bears. And I'd be sleeping on John's couch, and we'd be doing the Baylor stuff. And so I'm kind of like in the flow. And after 2 years, I graduate from grad school, and I feel like since Shelly has one more year at Baylor, I feel like the Lord called me to grad school again at Baylor. And so maybe he did, maybe he didn't, maybe I just wanted to be where Shelly was, but I came to grad school at Baylor, and that was in the fall of 1985. And I've been still being a summer college pastor all those summers up until then. And at the end of the summer of 1985, we were having our end-of-the-summer college retreat at this church I was working at in Houston. And there were about 60 college students at a river in the hill country. And we were sitting at lunch. And this one of the girls that was in our college ministry looked across the table at me. And the thing that I knew about this girl was she really, more than anyone I'd seen in the college window up to that time, was totally all about Jesus. It wasn't that she knew about Jesus. Almost everybody I ran into in those 2 years at Baylor knew about Jesus. It was that she was all about Jesus. And there was such a difference. And she looks across the table at me. This sophomore Tri-Delt. And we got any Tri-Delts in the house tonight? Okay, God's got a word for you. For all of us, but especially for you. And she looks across the table at me and she says, Louie, you know God's bringing you to Baylor for a reason. And I don't know if you've had one of those moments in life where a friend or a parent or, you know, somebody just says a simple sentence and all of a sudden everything clarifies. But in that moment, everything clarified. And it was like, it's not about Shelly. It's not about us dating. It's not about us being in the same city so we can eventually get engaged. It's not that I graduated from grad school and I don't want to move off somewhere in America and do something without Shelly. It's not about the fact that it was an incredible grad program and it was a miracle that I got in and got a stipend as a grad assistant and it was going to be paid for. All that stuff was amazing and God was working in that. But when she said those 12 words, God's, Louie, God's bringing you to Baylor for a reason, the lights came on. And I'm not kidding. I'm not trying to be dramatic. It was like the sky parted and God just spoke right into my heart. And do you know what he's spoken in my heart? Baylor knows about Jesus. But I'm looking for people who are all about Jesus. And I knew right then and there that it was more than just a 1.5-year grad program. But it was a calling of God on my life, eventually on Shelly's life. We got married at the end of that school year when she graduated, moved into Rivercrest Apartments. They used to be nice. There was a day. Anybody living in Rivercrest, again, I'm not throwing shade, but some of the blinds are janky. I drove through there today and I was like, I don't know. Rivercrest was kind of like a high end at one point. That's terrible. I'm so sorry I said that. Anybody living at Rivercrest? See there? Nobody's living at Rivercrest. Anybody living at Casablanca, phase 2? I don't even know if students live in there, if they let students live in there anymore. You should check it out. It's right by the Domino's on 13th and Spate. Right there on the top second floor. It looks the same as when I was in there. But in Casablanca, a handful of us, including Kay Dossie, the sophomore Tri-Delt, who lived in Casablanca phase 1, we started asking God, would you move on this campus? I could name 100, 200 students I knew here from those summer internships, but I also knew the game. I saw people in the summer when we'd go on our mission trip. I saw people come into our college Bible study and memorial area in Houston. But then I'd be here like, you know, 3 weekends into the school year with Shelly, staying at John Morris's place, and we'd be doing the stuff, coming to football games, hanging out, doing the thing. And I'd see the same students, and I'd be like, man, that does not look like the same kid that was in the summer college ministry before. And it was easy back then. I know it's not like that now, but it was easy back then to kind of be in the flow. Even it was so crazy, that was another era, you know, that was when people were still trying to keep like their pretense up, that somebody would not go to church on Sunday, get up, take a shower, put decent clothes on, and come down to the cafeteria as if they had been to church. I mean, I'm not kidding. I know that sounds crazy and no one would ever do that. But that's kind of where we were. And I knew that God wanted to break in and take people who knew about Jesus to being people who were all about Jesus. And on a Monday night in the fall of 1985, eventually we started a Bible study in the Arbor's Apartments Clubhouse. Arbor's Apartments are still here, but the clubhouse is long gone. I think it's a parking area now in the middle of the apartments. And for 10 years, we watched God do something amazing. Only my dad's disability in Atlanta took us away from here. God was moving so powerfully. Before I talk about, for just a couple minutes, the craziest thing on earth, I want to say 2 things about that story. Kay Dossey, Tri-Delt, ended up getting married, named Kay Fielder, spoke out of God speaking to her, to me, and changed my life. 10 years, Shelley and I saw God do something that blew our minds here, and all that was the seeds in the soil that became passion, and everything that is passion. And Kay Fielder, the Tri-Delt sophomore, has never seen any of it. She graduated from Baylor, married, was living in Houston, got ovarian cancer, and at 27 years of age, she went to heaven. But her 12 words have set off a tidal wave that has touched the lives of millions of college students around the entire world. So don't wait until sometime in the future to think that God can use you to be a catalyst for something remarkable on this campus, in this city, and in the world. God can use you right now. And I want to say over you today, especially, I know everybody here is not a student at Baylor. Maybe you're a student at Mary Hardin Baylor or another school and you just popped up for tonight, or maybe you're working in town, or maybe you're not in college at the moment. Same applies to you. But I want to say those same words over you. God brought you to Baylor for a reason. And you're like, yeah, I know he did. I'm in the business school and that's the reason, or I know he did. I got a scholarship and a grant and this financial thing, and it was amazing, and I know he brought me here for a reason. My family, we're all Baylor, and now I'm a part of the legacy of our family. Of course, there's a reason why I'm here, but I'm saying there's a bigger reason why you're here. God's got a destiny over every one of you. He's got you here for a reason, and if you will allow him to use you, maybe just to speak 12 words in the right place in the right time, you can be a part of something here that goes on long after you're gone. So what's the crazy idea? The crazy idea, and I want to just really talk about one verse of scripture, and it's kind of random for a Monday night in McLean Stadium, but it's found in Exodus chapter 24, verse 2. And this is the story of Moses. And if you have not been around a lot, Moses was called on by God to lead the people of God out of bondage and into the promised land. And in the journey of being on the way to the promised land, it was a crazy ride. And at one point, God had invited Moses up on Mount Sinai, given him the Ten Commandments written on two stone tablets. But Moses was up there for a while. And by the time he came down, the people thought he was never coming back. They had built a golden calf and were dancing and worshiping around this idol that they made. And when Moses comes down from the mountain after meeting with God with the words of God carved on these stones, he just loses it, throws the stones on the ground, they smash on the ground, and then he has to restart with God. When he restarts with God, he's meeting with God in the tent of meeting. It says in the chapter right before in chapter 33 that we meet with God. It was like meeting with a friend face to face. And the glory of God would come down on the tent. And then when Moses was through meeting with God, he would leave the tent of meeting. But it said his young servant or aide, Joshua, he was watching from a distance when the glory of God came down on the tent. And when Moses was in the tent meeting with God, as if he were meeting with him face to face. It wasn't face to face, but it was that close, that intimate, that real, that they were face to face, Yahweh and Moses. But when Moses would leave, it said Joshua would not leave the tent. He was locked on to the glory of God. The next verse is down. Moses is replaying the conversation. And Moses is saying to God, how are people going to know when you lead us into the promised land that we are the people of God? And God says, Moses, I'm going with you. And then Moses says, well, if you're not going with us, we're not going. So I'm glad you're going with us, but that's not enough. And then Moses gets super bold and he says to God, show me your glory. In other words, it's not enough that you brought us out and led us through the Red Sea. It's not enough that we have a cloud by day and fire by night. It's not enough that I meet with you face to face and your glory, the Shekinah glory cloud, comes down on the tent. It's not enough that you promise me that you're going to go with us. I want it all. I want to see the glory of God. And I'm telling you, that got God's attention. And he said, okay, I'm going to let my goodness pass by you. But Moses, you don't know what you're asking for. So I'm going to have to stick you in a little crag in the cliff. And I'm going to cover you with my hand. And I'll let my goodness pass by you. And you can kind of see the back of me as I go by. But if you saw me face to face, you couldn't live. And then he says this to him in the next chapter. This is how it's going to go down. We're going to replay this Mount Sinai story one more time, Moses. And he says to him in verse 2, I want you to notice this. Because this invitation is on the table tonight. Even actually a better invitation is on the table. But even if it were just this one, it's still crazy. He says to him, be ready in the morning. And then come up on Mount Sinai. Present yourself to me there on top of the mountain. The craziest thing in your life, and I'm not disinterested in your situation, your major, your dreams, the path that you're on, God's call on your life, all that is important and significant. But it's not as important as the fact that the creator of the cosmos, Yahweh himself, the same God who met Moses on the top of the mountain. Is inviting you to come and to know him. He's saying to you, get ready in the morning and come up on the mountain and present yourself to me, not on the foothill, not 500 feet up, not at the little chalet where they have coffee and hot tea and you can have a nice devotion and take an Instagram photo, not even at the edge of the cliff up here, but come all the way up on the top. And when you get up there, say, God, here I am, and I want all of you. You say, well, why would I do that? Because waiting for us at the top of the mountain is the glory of God. And I believe that the enemy could succeed in one thing in your generation. It would be to have us know about him, but not come to the place where we're all about him. David said in Psalm 27, verse 4, a verse that I've been preaching my whole life and wanted to lean into my whole life. He said, one thing I've asked of the Lord and one thing I'm going to seek. In other words, if I just got one prayer request, I know what it would be. If I just got one shot, if I could take my shot with God, I know what it would be. And it wouldn't be, what is your will for my life? Even though that's an important question. It wouldn't be, am I at the right school? Even though that's an important question. It wouldn't be, am I dating the right person? Even though that's probably not going to get asked by anybody right now. It wouldn't be, am I in the right zone? Is this the right timing? Although those are all important questions, it would be, he said, I know what my one shot would be. If I could ask one thing of the Lord, and there was one thing I could seek. Psalm 27, 4, he said it would be this. That I want to dwell in the house of God all the days of my life. And I want to meditate. I want to see him. I want to be with him in his temple. If I could ask one thing of the Lord, it would be the Lord. This is a different thing. This is different than I like God and I love God and I'm at Vertical and I'm a believer. And this is if I just got one shot. I would say to Jesus, I don't want anything from you. I just want you. I just want you. And you know, you get everything else with him. That's not why we pursue him, but the scripture says, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. In other words, when all you want is Jesus, you get all you want. When all you want is to see the glory of God, then you get everything you want in life, because once you see the glory of God, everything changes. So there are a couple of takeaways that I hope you walk away with. I got like 4 or 5 minutes to talk. Number one, you're invited up the mountain. I don't know who you are. I don't know where you're from. I don't know what you've done. I don't know if you think you do deserve the mountain or you think you don't deserve the mountain. Jesus has even got a better invitation on the table today. Moses couldn't see God face to face, but by the power of the Holy Spirit in us through Christ, we get to see God's glory, not literally face to face, but spirit to spirit. We get to experience all of God. We can actually be closer to God, I believe, than Moses was, even though he's on a mountaintop with God in the presence of God. And that invitation's on the table for you tonight. And the one thing I don't want to do is get to the end of my life, my one shot on earth, my 1 5-second on this planet, and get to the end of it all and go, I don't know why I didn't make a bigger priority to take up the invitation to come up the mountain. The second takeaway that's powerful tonight is you can go as far up the mountain as you want. You can go as high up the mountain as you want. There's no place where there's a keypad and you don't have access. There's nowhere you need a fob. There's nowhere where it's authorized personnel only. You can go as high up the mountain as you want. And so it comes down to this, because we're all getting into that zone where you're 18, 19, 20, 21, 22 years old. And for me, I got no excuse. I've lived 3 times longer than you. But if I don't have it all, then it's because I didn't want it all. Think about that. A.W. Tozer, brilliant theologian, pastor, preacher, he said every man, and so we would say every person tonight, is as close to God as they want to be. Because God said, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. And so if I don't have it all, it's because I didn't want it all. I was happy going a little ways up the mountain. And I think so many times for me, I want to meet God on my terms. I've got this much time. I'm willing to climb this high. If I'm feeling it, I come up the mountain. If I'm not feeling it, I don't go up the mountain. Everybody else kind of got to hear on the mountain, and that's cool, so we'll all just hang here instead of going, I don't care. I'm going to keep blazing this trail. I'm going to keep reaching for the heights. I'm going to keep digging into this word, getting on my knees, getting on my face, getting with God, prioritizing God. I'm telling you, I'm, you know, obviously you would expect me to say this, but I think some of you want to say it too. If we're not careful, we're going to tick-tock ourselves to death. One tick-tock at a time. Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. The time expired and we never made it up the mountain. When the invitation was on the table the whole time, I made you to come up here with me. And then 2 big things. When you get there, your whole framework changes. God handed Moses these tablets, not really to give us rules to live by, because it's more than that. But on the tablets, the whole framework changed. Don't covet, don't envy, don't steal. But more importantly, remember God. Keep the Sabbath holy. Don't build an idol. Don't give your praise to anything but God. Don't take God's name in vain by using him when you need him, but not fearing him with your whole heart and committing your whole life to his glory. And so I'm here tonight, a harbinger of what's to come, but a dinosaur who has survived a lot from the past. I'm here in McLean Stadium, a place that didn't even exist for the 10 years that I prayed and we prayed and believed for this campus, to tell you that you've got a shot at true glory. Don't let the world sell you anything less than the top of the mountain. But know when you get up there, your framework's going to change. And when you come down like Moses did, with a new framework, with a hint of glory, just a glimpse of glory, just a taste of glory, when you come down, idols have to go. He came down and saw that golden calf and he thought, are you kidding me? I've just seen a glimmer of the glory of God. And you are, what are we doing down here? Gotta go. And I believe the world needs a heart on fire like that. Not a judgmental heart, just a heart that comes back from being with God and says, what are we doing? No, I don't think so. What are we like giving our allegiance to? I don't think so. What are we counting on to get us through or make us happy or fulfill us or prop us up? I don't think so. I have been higher up on the mountain and I have seen enough of the glory of God to know that he is bigger than anything I'm gonna go through. He is better than anything I'm ever gonna find on this planet. That he is more sturdy than any, you know, thing that's gonna unravel in my life. That he is able no matter what I walk through. He is God and he is great and he is good and he is awesome and he is powerful and glorious and mighty. And I'm all in. I don't just know about him. I am all about him. And I wonder tonight as the guys come and lead us. You know, they're going to lead us in a song that I got so convicted about singing at church the other day. It's a song called First Love. Do you know this song? No? Yes? No? No? Okay. Some yes. Okay. Some yes. Some no. There's a line in it that says, and I can feel my heart beating out of my chest. And I mean, the song is cranking at this point and church is blowing up and everybody's just feeling it and you can sense it and I'm feeling it. And then I just had this thought and I was like, is my heart really beating out of my chest? And I was like, not all the time. And I just decided right there, I don't want to just easily sing the word. I really do want a heart that is beating for Jesus. I don't just want to know about him. I want to be all about him. It's that heart of Joshua. When Moses left, he said, I ain't leaving. It would be like tonight that God would touch someone in a way. And when tonight ended and everyone drifted away because we all got somewhere to go and something to do, an assignment to work on, a project that's got some attention coming tonight, maybe a test tomorrow. But when everybody drifted out, to see that one student who just drifted to the sideline for a minute and down below the wall just knelt down and said, God, I don't want to leave this moment. I don't want to leave this moment. It's me remembering so many days when I was your age and a church in Atlanta, Georgia, when the service would end, I couldn't move. And people say, hey man, we're going to the whatever, we're all going to, and I'd be like, y'all go. And not wanting to lose that spirit of Joshua. I want more. I want more. I want to come to God on his terms, on his mountain. I want to get ready and come up in the morning and I want to present myself to God and say, God, you invited and you made a way through Christ. I am here and I'm not on a budget. I'm not in a hurry. I made time and I've got time. Show me your glory. I want to know. So we're going to sing this song and pray. And you know, there's no magic anywhere in life. But I wonder if God's speaking to somebody on this field tonight, saying, I put the spirit of Joshua in you. Don't settle for less when you have the opportunity to go all the way to the top of the mountain. Or maybe he's saying to you tonight, that idol, that thing you're counting on, depending on, trusting in, infatuated with, that thing's got to go tonight. That thing stays here tonight. And you're starting all over again tonight saying, you are my first love. You always have been. I've just drifted away. You've always been my only one. But somehow I've drifted away. And tonight I'm coming back to say, Jesus, it's all about you. And if that's you, I want to invite you while we're singing just to come up and just kneel somewhere up here. There's a ton of room up here. There's no magic in that. There's no formula in that. We don't have a game plan for that. It just gives somebody, some one person in this place, the opportunity to put a stake in the ground right here tonight and say, I'm coming back to my first love. Jesus, I don't just want to know about you. I want to be all about you. We're going to pray, and if that's you, you can come right now during this prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for the incredible, ridiculous, stunning invitation tonight. That because of Jesus, death, burial, and resurrection, anybody in this place can come up the mountain of God as high as we want, as far as we want, to know as much of you as we can. Lord, I pray that you'd awaken that in us tonight. People who are not happy with anything less than the taste of your glory, to see your face. We love you, Lord.